stand, we'll continue with our song service. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 6 says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." It's good to be in the Lord's house today. Look forward to seeing what the Lord has for us. Brother Lyons, would you open us in a word of prayer?
Amen. Let's all take your hymn. Let's turn hymn up 243.
Oh,
257. Amen. Thank you. Maybe see you.
Thank you. There's a burden in your heart, and your world's falling apart. You haven't answered prayers, and you feel like no one cares. When the trials that you face overwhelm your mind and take God's place, don't forget about His grace. Just remember, He's still there. He still cares. There's never been a time that He did not hear your prayers. God's still there. He still cares. So don't give up in the fight. He will make your burdens light. He's still there. When there's problems all around, and your worries bring you down, when you're searching for rest, instead you face another test. When you lay awake in bed and troubles fill your head, don't forget He'll never leave you on your own. He's still there. He still cares. There's never been a time that He did not hear your prayers. God's still there. He still cares. So don't give up in this fight. He will make your burdens light. He's still there. He's still faithful in the hard times. Side of what He's done. He's not finished working yet. So don't ever forget. He's still there. He still cares. There's never been a time that He did not hear your prayers. He's still there. He still cares. There's never been a time that He did not hear your prayers. God's still there. He still cares. Give up in this fight. He will make your burdens light. He's still there. He's still there. He's still there.
Let's all stand. We'll take our hymnals and we'll turn to hymn number 188. 188, the love of God.
Yeah.
Sometimes I just can't take it anymore. Sometimes it only gets darker, and everything's hard to see. But without fail, the sun rises faithfully. For all of my life, God's made the sun shine each morning. And every day that's been covered with grace and mercy. There's no path ahead, not one single step that He hasn't walked before me. His compassions never end, so I know He will be. Trust in His promise, though my weeping lasts through the night. I know joy is coming with dawn's first light. For all of my life, God's made the sun rise each morning.
So beautiful to see God's people praising Him. Them when they're hurting. Hope I can make it through the song now.
Souls drenched in darkness, lost in the night, blind to their need of sight, following others who do not see Christ who died on the tree in agony to save their souls. Who will tell them? Who show, who will help them, who will go? Jesus, help me be the one with a path. passion and compassion for their souls. Souls stuck in silence all their life long, deaf to salvation's song, filling their ears with all the world's noise, finding its bane and void of any sound to soothe their souls. Who will tell them? Who will show? Who will help them? Who will go? Jesus, help me be the one with a passion and compassion for their souls. Souls cold as ice, yet destined for fire, sinking in sin's deep mire, stumbling, falling, trying to walk, needing the solid rock on which to rest their weary souls. Who will tell them? Who will show? Who will help them? Who will go? Jesus, help me be the one with a passion and compassion for their souls. Jesus, help us be the ones with a passion and compassion for lost souls.
Praise the Lord for the singing this morning. Have some beautiful, beautiful specials. And I can certainly sense the sorrow I'm so thankful for the glorious hope that we have in Jesus Christ. This morning, if you would please turn with me to Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. You would please stand with me for the reading of the Word of God. And we'll be reading from verse 25 to 33. It says, "And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest happily after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, This man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first, and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple." Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. Thank you, Lord, that we have our glorious hope in you. And this morning, as we open your word and we learn about you, I pray that you'll arrest our thoughts and our attention and our focus. And Lord, that you would prepare the tables of our heart to receive the food that you have for us now. Bless this time together. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. These things we do that others may live. These things we do that others may live. It's one of the most awesome mottos ever, in my opinion. It's the motto of the Pararescuers, the PJ, as they were formerly known. And these guys are the elite force of the Air Force, the U.S. Air Force. I was in my third semester in college, and I was doing really well. But there was a struggle going on inside of my life, and I was looking for some purpose, for something great. You know, sometimes as young men, you're doing something, and maybe it's what the Lord has you doing, but you want to go and do something that you think will be greater, you know? And that was me. And I was getting tired of the college thing, even though I was doing well and all that. And I'm like, I just want to go out and start making a difference with my life. So when I read those words, these things we do that others may live, I thought, wow, that's awesome. You know, that's kind of like Christian-like. Like we're doing these things that other people are going to live. I wanted to become a pararescuer. And so I started lifting weights, I started running, I started swimming, and I was preparing to become a pararescuer. I ordered all the brochures, I learned everything I could, I knew what their training regimen was like. I even ordered this Discovery Channel episode, it's called Surviving the Cut, I think, where these guys all go in, they're like submitted to all this brutal training. So I'm like, yeah, mentally tough. I'm going to do this thing. So I got prepared. And bear in mind, I haven't even talked to a recruiter yet. So made up my mind, this is what I'm going to do. I go to the recruiter's office. And, you know, he welcomes me in. And he's doing his thing, introducing, oh, well, what can we kind of interest you in, you know? But he didn't know, like, I was going to make his job super easy. I'm like, man, I have read it all. I want to be a pararescuer. I want to sign up. And so he was like, okay, well, you know, that's really ambitious. You know, those guys, they're pretty hardcore. I'm like, yeah, that's what I want to do. That's what I am, hardcore, you know, that others may live. So he's like, all right, well, great. He prints off this list of exercises and workouts and stuff like that. He's like, well, why don't you take a look at these? Because these are kind of the minimum that you're going to have to do to get in, to even make the cut to get into the training. I said, okay. And I looked at it. I'm like, you know, I've actually been training, and I can do all of these things already. He's like, really? I'm like, oh, yeah, I ran here. I rock climb on the weekends. I'm swimming. And this guy's just like, wow, okay. This kid's just really just enthralled by all of this. He's ready. So he says, all right, Alvin, tell you what, this is a serious commitment, all right? Now, I want you to go home, and if you've made up your mind, you know, you take some time, think about it, and come back, and these are the documents I want you to bring. You know, make sure you've talked to your folks and everything. So he wanted me to bring my passport, and my Social Security card, and birth certificate. So I was like, okay, no problem. So I returned to my dorm. And that same week, that weekend, I returned, documents in hand, you know, I'm going to do this thing. I hadn't told my parents anything about it. As a matter of fact, when I first told the story, my mom and dad were looking at me like, you did what? Yeah, I didn't want to tell them because I knew what the answer was going to be from them. No, you're not going to do that. So I go into his office. And he welcomes me in. He's like, well, great, man, you know, I've got the contract ready, and I'm going to go back here. I'm going to make some copies of all your documents that you brought in, bring the contract out, and you're going to sign it, man. And we're going to get you on the first bus, the basic training. And I'm just excited, and I'm like, yes, I'm doing this. So he goes back into the office, and he comes back out, And he has this really puzzled look on his face. And he goes, Alvin, your passport page, I don't see the ID page. I'm like, what are you, it's right there, it's the first page here. I said, give me that passport, I'll show it to you. So I take the passport from him, and sure enough, I started flipping through, and I couldn't find the ID page. It was missing. What was going on? Later on, I found out, me and one of my roommates, we weren't getting along, and I think he sabotaged my passport by tearing out the page. But the Lord was working. Because that day, I wasn't able to sign up. I had to go and get a brand new passport and all that. Now, before I left, he explained to me one more thing. He said, Alvin, if you're going to join the elite fighting, rescuing force, United States Air Force, says, you're going to have to be all in. You're going to have to submit fully and wholly to this cause. You mentioned you have dual citizenship. You're also a citizen of Guyana. I said, yes, sir. I said, you're going to have to renounce that. I said, okay. Now remember, this is foolish me, you know, already. So I thought about it for like 5 seconds. I was like, done. Show me where I got to sign. I'll sign it away. Now, in retrospect, the Lord was working through all of that. And I don't know where I would have been today if I had signed up. I mean, I don't even know if I would have made the cut. Those guys are pretty hardcore. But praise the Lord that I'm here this morning because God intervened. This morning, I want to talk to you about being all in for Christ. The title of my message is, you gotta be all in. Gotta be all in. Here in the passage, in verse 25, we read that many people went with him, being Jesus. It says, and there went great multitudes with him. Now, at this point in Jesus Christ's ministry, he was very well known. Luke 4:14 tells us that Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him throughout all the region round about. You see, Jesus had been doing great things, right? He'd been turning the water into wine. He'd been casting out evil spirits. He'd been helping the dumb to talk, the blind to see, the lame to walk. Jesus Christ was doing miraculous things. And fame of him was ringing throughout the land. And people were coming on to him because they wanted what he was offering them. And that's okay. John 6:2 tells us that many people followed him because of what he was doing. And that's all right because Jesus wants to meet our needs. Can I tell you that the same Jesus back then is the same Jesus that we serve now? He's able to do miraculous things. He's able to meet needs. He's able to work in ways which you can't even fathom. Praise the Lord for God Almighty that we serve. So all these people are following him. And what's striking here in verse 25 and 26, he does something. Jesus turns and he faces the multitude of people following him and said, if any man come to me and hate not his father and his mother and his wife and his children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. What is Jesus saying here? Well, he was trying to drive home a point. It's great that you follow me. It's great that you're coming out and you're listening to me and you want what I have to offer. That's all awesome. But it's going to call for more than that if you want to be a disciple. You want purpose in your life? I was searching for purpose in my life. Let me tell you that there is no greater purpose. There is no greater service than you can ever do than to be a disciple for Jesus Christ. But you got to be all in. First point that we notice about a disciple is that a disciple puts Jesus first. The disciple puts Jesus first. Verse 26 says, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children, and so on and so forth. He cannot be my disciple. Here in the verse, Jesus instructs on what it takes to be his disciple by making this hyperbolic statement. He's not saying, actually go out and hate your mother and your fathers and sisters. He's trying to drive home a point here. He's got to be first in your life. You know, some people can be extremely jealous. Most people in marriages are extremely jealous. I remember when I bought my first motorcycle. I love motorcycles. My dad got me on my first dirt bike when I was 6 years old. And so I'm hooked. I've been hooked ever since. But my first street bike, Yamaha MT-07, bought it with my own money. And I put about 20,000 miles on that motorcycle in just a little over a year. 20,000 miles on just a motorcycle. That's just leisurely riding. I had that thing covered. It was well cared for, had everything. When I got home from work, I'd look at it on my way in. Oh, wow. What a beauty. I can't wait to go spend some time with that bike. But that year was also the year that I got married. And someone got jealous. You see, I was spending so much of my time and my money on my motorcycle, and not so much with my wife. Look at her face. I don't do it as much anymore, okay? Now, you might think that this is a silly example, all right? You know, that I would spend this time and money on my motorcycle, and my wife would get jealous. How silly is that? Well, I want to submit to you today that God is so good to us, even more than any person on the earth. He provides for us. He protects us. He listens to us. He gives to us. He loves us so much that he even died for us. And yet, we put our TVs before him, our cell phones before him, our hobbies before him, our entertainments before him, our pursuits before him, our image before him. The list goes on and on and on. How silly is that? Exodus 3:14 says, "For thou shalt worship no other god, for the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God." He's a jealous God. He wants you to put him first. Amen? Disciple puts Jesus first. Second, a disciple bears his cross. Verse 27 says, "And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." It's said that crucifixion was perfected by the Romans. And many of you are familiar with the process of crucifixion. The victim was bound by their hands above their heads. And then two men usually did the flogging, one on the left and one on the right. And they came. Now, the Jews, they limited their flogging to 40 whips. But the Romans, they didn't have any such limitations. And so they'd come out, these two men, and these whips, as you're familiar with, leather strands embedded with pieces of metal and bones on the end. And they would start whipping the victim across the shoulders and the back and even the legs. And at first, it would take away some of that skin. But then after a while, it would get into the subcutaneous tissue. We're talking deep skin here. And it would start ripping apart that person's body so much that blood started even spewing out. Because at this point, it's getting so deep into the flesh, it's disrupting all the capillaries and, I don't know, all the fancy names for all the veins, right? All the big veins that are in there. It got so bad that by the end of the flogging, that victim, his skin on his back was hanging off like ribbons. That was just the first part of the crucifixion process. And then after all that beating, if they made it, then they were made to carry that heavy cross. And bear in mind, they're naked. They're beaten. Everyone's watching. Now they have to carry that cross to their own crucifixion. Jesus says, "Whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." Do you hear what he's saying there? Are you understanding this? You see, the cross, bearing the cross, is a symbol of moving forward when the world is beating you down, when they're ridiculing you. Bearing the cross is a symbol of the pain and the hardship that Christians will face. Bearing the cross is a symbol of the ridicule even that you might experience for following Christ. It's a symbol of being willing to follow Christ with such faithfulness that you're willing to surrender everything in your life for it. I enjoyed being young and having hair. I hardly have any now. When I was young and in middle school, I was ridiculed for being a virgin. And I was made fun of for not having multiple girlfriends in intimate experiences. And that was such a long time ago. I mean, I'm still young now, but it was like, I don't know, 15 years ago or something. It's been a long time. I can't imagine how much worse it is today. You know, your kids are going to have to bear crosses to be Christians. Your teenagers are bearing crosses. They need you, older folks. I look around here and I see some older folks, I see some middle-aged folks, and I see a lot of young folks, and they need you. They need good role models. They need people who are going to take them out, fellowship with them, teach them, encourage them, pray with them. Because if they're going to be a Christian, they're going to have to bear their cross. Disciple bears his cross. I tell you what, being a Christian is not an easy task. In America, 5 out of every 10 teenagers report being sexually active. And before any are even 20 years old, that number jumps to 7 out of every 10. 55% of unintended pregnancies among adolescent girls aged 15 to 19 years end in abortions. And don't even get me started on the stats for divorce. 40 to 50% of first marriages end in divorce. Can you believe that? In 2022, 989,518 divorces occurred across 45 U.S. states that reported this statistic. That's almost a million. The devil is out there. He's working hard. And no one ever said this Christian life is going to be easy. Jesus Christ didn't say that. But I'm going to get to the good part later on. I don't want it to be just doom and gloom. Lastly, a disciple counts the cost. In Luke 14, 28, Jesus said, "For which of you intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it, lest happily after he had laid the foundation, is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, cannot be my disciple." The Burj Khalifa Tower, one of the most amazing spectacles of the world. It reaches to 2,716 feet tall. That's over a half a mile tall. The elevators have to travel at 25 miles per hour just so that they can get to the top floors in a timely manner. An amazing spectacle, but it cost them to build that tower. It cost them $1.5 billion, 6 years of hard work, and even numerous lives of workers that were lost, perished in the building of that tower. If you're going to do his work, if you're going to surrender to Jesus, if you're going to be his disciple, it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you. What's it going to cost you? Jesus' answer is, "Whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, cannot be my disciple." You got to give it all up. When my family and I decided that we were going to be missionaries to Guyana, we thought, well, this is great, right? The Lord wants us to go there, and we want to go. But we soon and quickly realized, and are still realizing, it's going to cost us. You know that love for motorcycles I told you I had? I've been selling them. You got to go. Can't ride them anymore. Hard to have the time. Had a nice little convertible car. I like my toys, you know. It's sold. It's gone. We're putting up our house for rent because we're going to be on the road. We're going to be moving anyways. It's our first home we bought when we first got married. We've been living it for 6 years. We've been married for 6 years. You know, it's been nice going home to our home. We went home from a missions conference recently, and we were like, man, it was so good to be out there, but it's so good to be home. And then it hit us, you know what? And just 3 weeks from now, we don't have a home to come to. We're going to be staying at Haley's parents, and they're great, but it's still not going to be our home. It's all part of the cost, though. You're going to have to give up some things when you want to serve the Lord. It's going to cost you. It's going to cost you your time, your energy, your pet sin, your garbage TV shows, your pornography, your immodesty, your evil conversations, your worldly music. It may cost you your security, your comforts, your money. It's going to cost you everything. But it's all for the Lord. And we ought to be willing to lay it all at His feet. The cost is great, but the cause is worthy. You know, Stephen, when he was being stoned for sharing the gospel, as they stoned Stephen, and he was calling upon God, saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and he cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Why would a man who is being stoned by people pray for them? He knew the cause. It cost him his life, but it was worth everything. You know, although I never enlisted, I have a friend who was part of SOCOM, Special Operations Command. He was a Ranger for 20 years. And I called him up one day, and we were talking, and I said, you know, Adam is his name, I never got to enlist, but boy, I really want to know what it would have been like. Can you tell me what it would have taken? And most of all, I want to know if I would have been good enough, tough enough to make the cut. That's always been in my mind. Would I have been tough enough? And he said, Alvin, he said, this is what I got for you. He said, if you don't believe it, it won't happen. If you don't believe it, it won't happen. Now, he was referring to the mindset one needed to possess before hitting the combat zone. He said, you know, when it comes to the mission, for the mission to be successful, you have to first be the right mindset. He says, otherwise, you're going to compromise the mission. You're going to compromise your unit. He said, man, when the war really starts, when the heat of battle is happening, it's the mindset that will make or break a soldier. He says, when guys are going down on both sides and the stress is so great that you're even losing bodily functions that you don't even realize. And he's like, guys are just vomiting and stuff. This is after they've gone through the train. He's like, and they don't even know it. But he said, you have to be fully committed. And he said these words to me, Alvin, to be a successful soldier, you gotta be all in. To be a disciple for Jesus Christ, you gotta be all in. Are you all in? Are you all in for Jesus? With every head bowed and every eye closed this morning. I want to tell you that the Lord has a plan for your life. And it may not be the most appealing, but He wants to use you. He wants you to surrender all to Him. He wants you to be all in. So as the music plays, the altar is open. Come forward and lay it all at His feet.
Decided to follow Jesus. being with us. The song that she sang, by the way, she wrote when they surrendered to go to the field, and thankful for that. And I don't think we have a missionary down there, do we? I think we need one, don't you? How about I'll make a motion that we take them on at 100 a month. Second, all in favor, aye. Anyone oppose? So our newest missionaries right there. That's them right there. Hallelujah. I'm going to have them go ahead and go back to their table, and you can greet them back there. We'll be setting up. We've got lunch, dinner on the grounds today. We're having Mexican food, and it just happens to be Cinco de Mayo, but we didn't get a Mexican missionary. But I do have a Mexican associate. Maybe that works, right? But we're going to have a good time fellowship. There'll be plenty of food. Even if you haven't planned to be with us, we'd encourage you to stick around. And then we have an early afternoon service at 1 o'clock today. So good to be together in the Lord's house. Let's go. Let's have Brother Matt come and lead us in a word of prayer and give us our announcements. Brother Matt.
All right. As Pastor said, there will be a patch program this afternoon. YouthCon registration for all teens is on Wednesday. Mother's Day brunch coming up. That'll be on Saturday, May 11th. Church at 11:30. Sign-up sheets are in the back. Sign-up attendance. Also, Mother's Day, please plan to celebrate Mother's Day with us on 12th. And there will be a camp meeting following afternoon, May the 19th. All of these are in. Then we'll have Dave McCracken, Brother Dave, preaching for us on Sunday, May the 6th. And camp coming up 2nd through 7th, 19th. A great day in the Lord's house. Brother Russ, can you close us in prayer?